The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Good morning and welcome. Every year at this time of year, the Church of England fulfills one of its primary vocations, to be a focal point for remembering. Unfortunately, things are different for us this year. Our gathering, both in church and here at the War Memorial, cannot take place. Yet the need to remember remains. And so this morning, up and down the country, people will still look to the church to articulate in words and action things that are important. And though our remembering is rooted in the Christian tradition, and the words are shaped by the language of faith, they are offered for all, even for those who do not profess the faith. The words we use today are markers through which our remembering is given shape. They express sorrow and sadness, give us space to think, and the chance to commit ourselves, knowing from where we have come, to work together for a new future, where the kingdom for which Christian people pray, a kingdom of peace and justice, will be seen. This year we recall in particular how 75 years ago the Second World War ended, and we marked that earlier in the year here in Whitkirk as this tree was planted. But our remembering embraces every conflict before the God who longs us and loves us and longs for us to live into the peace which passes all understanding. Part of every act of worship is remembering where we have come from too, by hearing words from the Holy Bible. These words challenge, console, encourage, and give us hope, inviting us every week to imagine a new future. And we need those words today. And we shall pray, and we shall praise too, and sing hymns that have been grafted into the nation's heart, the first of which is, O God, our help in ages past.
Amen. A reading from the letter of Paul to the Romans. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own Son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died. Yes, who was raised, was at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
One of the things we do at Remembrance is to remember stories of friends and relatives from times past. But this lych gate has a story to tell too. It was built after the Second World War. It is rather unique and special, something perhaps we don't appreciate as we pass it on our way to the shops or down to Temple Newsham. Some of the stones that made it were drawn from places of significance, both locally and beyond. The stones tell something of the story of that conflict from Coventry Cathedral and St Paul's Cathedral to the Houses of Parliament, the Town Hall and Leeds Museum. And the bulk of the stone is from the wall of Gott's Park, the family home of General Gott, under whom many Leeds men served. And the woodwork comes from Royal Navy ships. But inside the walls of the War Memorial, we have the names of those who gave their lives in both the First and the Second World War. And the names around me in here are familiar to me. I often look at them as I stand here waiting for a hearse to arrive for a funeral or a bride to arrive for a wedding. I wonder who they were and what they did. I wonder what of those who loved them and who had to cope with them never coming home. We're going to hear the story of two of the names on this memorial, the Sunter brothers.
It is Remembrance Sunday. This is when we remember people that have given their lives for their country in war. Harold and Roland Sunter are my great uncles. Both appeared on the war memorial, the lych gate, and on the plaque in church. They were born at Whitkirk to Amy and Lewis Sunter in one of three cottages at the top of Whitkirk Hill, just off Temple Newsham Road. They were two of seven children, the eldest being Sydney, then Harold, Roland, Mabel, Hilda, Lizzie, and my grandmother, May. And Harold and Roland were very close. They both worked at the co-op as apprentice butchers. And like most young men of that age, they got drawn in by propaganda and they went to a rally in Pontefract and joined the King's Own Light Infantry. Both were underage when they joined. Like most people in this area, they joined up and went to war together. But due to the large number of casualties, war split them up and they both fought in different campaigns throughout the war in northern France. Unfortunately, they were both killed. Harold died on the 3rd of September 1917 at Rouen, Flanders. Roland died almost a year to the day in September 1918 at Villiers, Flanders. And at this time of the year, as a family, we always remember them.
We're thankful for Tim for telling the story of the Sunter brothers. But theirs is just one story. There are many more, I'm sure, around this memorial. And those who remember those who had given their lives were thankful for this place to remember them and feel that their death wasn't in vain, didn't count for nothing. Of course, as a people of faith, we believe in a God before whom no one, nothing is forgotten. And though memories of times past fade, we as a nation have a wealth of memories recorded on film and elsewhere of those who experienced what most of us, thank God, can only imagine. Things are far from usual in our national life, but as ever, though there are challenges, there are opportunities too. And here now we hear from some members of our church family about why Remembrance Sunday matters. And why is remembrance important?
I think it's extremely important for everybody. So many people gave their lives that our country might be what it is. I know things are very different at the moment, but it's in some respects, it must seem to some like the war and wartime with the lockdown and everything. But I think it's important that the children are taught about the war and the sacrifices that were made, and so that we can pray that it will never happen again.
So tell me what you remember at the end of the Second World War. How did you, your friends, family, mark it? You were
in China.
You were in China, right?
Yes, and it was very exciting because we felt the vibrations of Hiroshima because we were in the Shandong Peninsula. We thought it was an earthquake. We were in an internment camp. And a few days later, the Americans came and dropped parachutes into the camp. And that was very exciting. Seven parachutes. And they all came rushing out and stormed the base. And the parachutists were very brave Americans. They didn't know that they might be attacked. And so they were greeted with a great joy, carried in shoulders in the camp, and then the Americans took over the running of the camp while they organised and should all be taken out and safely delivered to our various countries.
So why is remembrance still important, do you think?
There's a lot of people gave up their lives,
yeah,
for us, didn't they?
Okay. Why is remembrance important? Why does it continue to be important?
Well, for all those that gave their lives, I lost one or two friends, even in Palestine.
Yeah.
I must remember.
We are thankful for all, both those who are known to us and those unknown, who have given their lives in ways large and small for the common good. That common good is something that we, everyone, people of faith and none, have a calling to work for. For us, as Christians, Jesus calls us to work together, to live, and most radically of all, as our gospel reading reminded us, to love.
We will remember. Let us pray for our world, for each other, that we may all be instruments of peace. Peace, perfect peace, with loved ones far away, in Jesus' keeping we are safe, and they. We pray for all our armed forces serving abroad, in Afghanistan, Africa, Belize, Brunei, Cyprus, Germany, Gibraltar, Iraq and the South Atlantic Islands. We pray for their families at home and all who support them, both when they are in service and when they leave. We give thanks for all chaplains serving with the armed forces and Reverend Dr. David Coulter, Chaplain General. And in the worldwide church, we pray for the church in the province of the West Indies and for the Most Reverend Howard Gregory, Primate and Bishop of Jamaica and the Cayman Islands. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Peace, perfect peace, by thronging duties pressed, to do the will of Jesus, this is rest. We acknowledge the personal sacrifices that those in the armed forces and their families make and continue to make. We give thanks for the work of SAFA, Help for Heroes, the British Legion and other organisations giving aid to the armed forces. We continue to pray for our political leaders. Grant them wisdom to make decisions for the good of all. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Peace, perfect peace, in this dark world of sin, the blood of Jesus whispers peace within. We pray for all who are named on our war memorial in church, in the Leech Gate, and on the war memorial on Selby Road, many of whom, like the Sunter brothers, have descendants still living in this area. In our church, we give thanks for those who have been called on again to use their gift of imagination to enable us to worship and attend services outside of our church buildings. In this parish, we pray for the residents of Temple Rise. May the peace of God fill their hearts and their homes. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Peace, perfect peace, with sorrows surging round, on Jesus' bosom naught but calm is found. At this time of heightened anxiety with the further spread of COVID, we again ask for your blessing on all our nurses and care workers, our doctors and paramedics, our radiographers and midwives, and all others in the caring professions. We ask your blessing on all the scientists working on developing vaccines and other treatments. In a moment of silence, we pray for all those who are uppermost in our thoughts and prayers. We now add to those people others who have asked for our prayers. George Brown, Ginny Camponi, Tom Heafy, Jennifer Mode, Christine Oates, Margaret Tomlinson, and Mavis Cross. Peace, perfect peace, peace, all future, all unknown. Jesus we know, and he is on the throne. We will remember all those who have died in the service of their country, those who are remembered in this place. To those people we add the names of those who have died recently, among them Alan Pawson, Daryl Yaff, Christine Taylor, Margaret Birkby, and Liz Hayes. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. Offering ourselves into the hands of God, let us pray with confidence in the words our Saviour taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.